Would you stand? There is no life without you. You have all that we need. Where you are, every fear is broken. And the darkness must flee. Closer and closer, we want to know you. Reaching out, reaching out. Here in your presence, we want to go deeper. In your light, come alive. There is no one beside.
Jesus, you have done it all for me. Jesus. Tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Jesus, I come. In every broken place, you are my righteousness. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. I will rise, stand redeemed. Whatever we came in the room with this morning, whatever's going on at work, at home, in our family, for whatever's out of control, we just acknowledge that you're in control. We thank you that no matter what our state, yours is always the same. You always love us. You always accept us with open arms. No matter how long, how far, you love us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're glad you're here this morning. You can grab a seat and take a look at the screen.
Good morning, Lansing Cathedral. It's so great to be together today. Please take a moment right now to fill out the connection card located in the seat back in front of you. You can give us as much information as you'd like, and if this is your first time with us, welcome. Please check the box First Time Guest. You can place these in the offering, hand them to guest services on your way out, or bring them to the hub located to the left of the main lobby.
Men, you don't want to miss our meeting and dinner tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. in the chapel. We'll have a guest speaker, Eddie Tilley, and we'll enjoy a great time together. We'll see you there.
We currently have part-time positions available in our grounds and maintenance department. If you're interested, you can email Jimmy Sanders, jimmy@cathedralemail.com.
Okay, everyone, don't forget to check in on Facebook anytime you come on campus. Here's what happens this month when you do.
Hi, everyone. I'm Howard Schiffer, the president and founder of Vitamin Angels. Vitamin Angels provides life-saving vitamins and nutritional support to children and mothers to create a healthier world. This month, we're happy to partner with all of you to reach children in need with vitamin A, a nutrient that strengthens immune systems, allowing children to fight off life-threatening illness. For children who don't have access to foods rich in vitamin A, just 2 doses a year of this powerhouse nutrient combat the devastating effects of vitamin A deficiency. Every 2 check-ins this month will provide a year of vitamin A for a child in need. Last year, we reached more children and moms than ever before, over 51 million in the United States and nearly 60 countries around the world. We are proud to have a 4-star rating from Charity Navigator for our fiscal responsibility. Thanks to everyone who checks in this month to help provide essential nutrients for children around the world.
The 2 biggest questions everyone wants answered are, why am I here and what is the purpose of my life? The Growth Track will help you answer those questions and more. There are 4 steps to the Growth Track: knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose, and making a difference. You can start on any step and finish at your own pace. We meet every Sunday during the 11 a.m. service at our Windsor House studio. You can go online for more information and to register, or you can just show up Sunday at 11.
Guest services is coming down, so you can go ahead and prepare to give your tithes and offerings. As you do this, I'm going to just reiterate what Eddie said on the screen. Growth Track is actually happening right now over in the Windsor House. And obviously, if you're new to the church, you've just come here recently, that will be something very appealing to you. We'd love for you to go through. But Growth Track isn't just if you're new. Maybe you've been here for 20 years and you're ready to get involved or take things to another level or just find out some more about yourself. The Growth Track is a phenomenal course. You don't have to start at the beginning. You can start any weekend, pick up wherever they're at and hop right in. It is an absolute blast. You'll learn more about the way God created you, how you can use that around here, and you'll meet some fantastic people in the process. Now, with our giving, you can obviously give today, or you can give online through our website or our app. Thank you guys so much for your faithful tithing and offering that creates this place of Cathedral that we get to call home. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this place and for your promise that as we give to you, we can't outgive you. You say that you'll bless us. You'll open up the windows of heaven. You'll pour out tenfold what we give to you and give back to us. You'll protect it. You'll watch over it and you'll use it for your kingdom. We thank you for the opportunity to give to you and partner with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, bless you as you give. Now, Easter is right around the corner, only 2 weeks away. And in just a minute, I'm going to show you a video. If you were here last weekend, you saw this video. But we want to show it again. And here's why. Here's why. Every year we have a phenomenal Easter production. And Easter is one of those times of year that statistically studies say that people are looking for a church. They're looking for a place to go. People are waiting on you, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. They are waiting for someone to invite them to an Easter service. So we would love for you to be that person, that someone, that invite. On your way out, there's invite cards that look just like this. You can grab as many as you want. We want you to use these. We want you to hand them out. We want you to talk to people about it. We want you to leave these with your check and the receipt at the end of dinner with a very nice tip, right? Okay. We want you to get the word out, and here's why. It's not because we're going to have lots of really cool lights and video elements in this production. It's not because the music is going to be fantastic and we have a great team doing that. It's not because the production itself is going to be so good and the acting and the portrayal. It's not because of any of that. Now, is all that true? Yes. We will give it our dead level best, and it's going to be fantastic. But here's why. Because every one of us are headed on a path and a trajectory in life, and at some point, something for you to get you in here kind of collided with you and knocked you into this place. Some of you, it was by your own choice. Some of you, you don't even know how you landed here. Some of you got drug in here, but somehow you got here. Something changed the trajectory of where you were going. And what we know is there's a lot of people that are still on that. They need something to change the trajectory of where their life's headed. And what we know is if there's one time more than any other time throughout the year that that happens, it's at Easter. It's at Easter. So what we will try and do, we will promise we'll put on the best possible production. We will portray in the most clear and relevant way what Jesus did for us. And we'll make that open opportunity. All we're asking of you is to ask people to come. Bring your friends, bring your family. Let's fill this place up. People need what Jesus has. People need something to change the trajectory of their lives. Maybe that's salvation, or maybe they're already a Christian and they just need some hope. They just need some faith. They just need something to freshen up and believe them. With that in mind and the people around you, now I want you to watch this video and let the Lord speak to you. Open up your heart and your ears to who he wants to use you to impact this Easter. Take a look.
Easter is just weeks away, and this auditorium will be filled to capacity 5 times between our Good Friday and Easter services. That's thousands of people and thousands of beautiful stories.
My name is Brittany Wise. My husband's name is Michael, and he is in the Air Force. Let me tell you about this beautiful story about this little girl named Evelyn Jean and how we came to Cathedral.
When they were married, Michael adopted Brittany's 2 sons, and he loved them dearly. They tried for a long time to have more children, but finally realized that more children just wasn't meant to be. Then one day, an unusual pain sent Brittany to the emergency room, where she received some incredible news. Brittany was pregnant. They were so excited, and at the first ultrasound, Michael was able to hear the baby's heartbeat. Then Michael received orders for a 1-year deployment. So Brittany and the boys sent him off with the expectation that he would soon be a brand new dad. At Brittany's next ultrasound, the technician struggled to find a heartbeat. Brittany hoped it was just an equipment problem, but then the doctor came in.
And the doctor said, unfortunately, there isn't a heartbeat. And I just remember breaking down at that moment. It was a very ugly cry, and I just felt lost. I remember the doctor, she asked if I wanted to pray. I asked her if she believed in miracles, because maybe there would be a miracle, maybe something could happen. And she was very patient, let us take the time that we needed. And I sat in the car in the parking lot, and I didn't know where to go. I didn't want to go home because I had 2 boys, and I didn't know how to tell them.
Michael struggled far away with the terrible news while he and Brittany's family quickly came to Charleston to help Brittany and the boys. And as Good Friday approached, Michael's mother suggested that they go to church. So she turned to Facebook, and it was there that someone invited Brittany to try Cathedral. So on Good Friday, Brittany and her family pulled into the parking lot.
When we parked in the parking lot, I had this feeling of hopelessness and heartbreak and reluctance to even go in. I didn't want to. But as soon as we walked in, I had this sense of peace. Everything that was happening during that week just kind of stood still. I didn't have that heartbreaking feeling. I didn't have that sadness.
In that service, Brittany touched the heart of God and found light and hope in the middle of her darkness. She realized, we're going to be okay. God has a plan to turn this tragedy into a beautiful story. Michael arrived home on leave Saturday, and he and Brittany attended service together Easter Sunday. Michael experienced that same presence of God in the Easter service, and they've been coming ever since. Several months after returning to his deployment, Brittany and the boys flew to see him.
So we go to see him, and of course, that month we had this huge storm, snowstorm on the East Coast, and we had to, fortunately, stay a little longer than expected in Portugal. So our 1 week trip ended up being a 2 week trip. When I got home, I found out that we brought home a souvenir I was expecting.
That souvenir was a beautiful set of twins that they recently dedicated here at Cathedral. So you see, the story of Evelyn, the daughter they lost, truly is a beautiful story of God taking a dark and hopeless situation and bringing light and hope. And it all happened because of a simple invitation on Facebook. This Good Friday and Easter, these seats will be filled with people you invite. People God has placed in your path all around you so you can invite them to experience the hope and light of His presence. That's thousands of people and thousands of beautiful stories.
Y'all think we'll ever know who gave her the invitation to come? On Facebook? Hadn't heard yet. But if it was you, let us know. We've been working with this whole concept of how important it is, what happens in your head, and how important thoughts are. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." In other words, we're at war, and most people don't realize we are, but we're at war, and the war is taking place in our heads. Paul said we're not fighting a tangible war. We're fighting a war, not according to flesh, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not natural, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. So we're talking about thoughts. So there's this war of thoughts that's going on in our head. And if we can grab God's thoughts, His Word, then those thoughts are really strong when it comes to pulling down anything that the enemy's trying to put in our head. In verse 5, it says, "An argument, anything that has now started as an idea has grown, you know, and become actually an argument that seeks to exalt itself against the knowledge of God." It says, "And bring every thought into captivity." So this warfare, Paul says, In order to really understand it, you have to slow down enough to realize that a thought needs to be taken captive, which is a huge deal. Because most of us can go along in our life and not realize that the war is going on. That a thought has come into our head that is against what God would want us to think or feel, and it wants to make home there. And Paul said the way you deal with that is you take that thought captive. In other words, there is something that says that you are not allowed to stay and that I choose my thoughts. Because what thoughts you don't take captive will take you captive. Somebody's going to be captive. Somebody's going to be dominant. If you don't take them captive, they will take you captive. And ultimately, one thought will lead to another thought, and then you have a whole arrangement of thoughts, which he says is an argument, which is a whole reasoning. And what happens to a lot of people, they end up uneven knowing that there's a bondage in their life when it comes to a thought process. And a bondage is simply a household of thoughts. It's a whole reasoning of thoughts that start someplace and they get negative, they're negative and they grow. And next thing you know, in that area, there's just a bondage. The word captive means at spear point. You remember I gave you the image of the week of the stronghold that's in a castle wall, and it's where these soldiers would hide, and they would come out, and it's just like they were thoughts, and they would come out and do their bidding, and then go back inside and stay. And Paul is saying that when they come out, you take these thoughts at spear point, And now you deal with them and you actually pull them down. The word obedience there means to listen under. In other words, they come under the word. Under the word, Paul said, I choose the thoughts, and God's thoughts are mighty, and I choose them, and now I make the other ones submit under them. You know, bottom line is, we are the gatekeepers for our mind. God would love for us to have the abundant life we talked about. But God does not control our mind. Who does that? Satan would love to destroy us. But he can't control our mind. But who does? We do. Now, go back to the garden with me just for a moment and realize how huge this principle is. The only way Satan could actually have his will come to planet Earth was to take the thought that was in Adam and Eve's head and supplant it, get it out, and get his thought in. That's the only way he can control Earth. And the fall happened because they chose to agree with the enemy instead of what God said. It's just a matter, again, we said it this whole series, of which voice you listen to. And the only way his will can come into your life and in mine is he's got to get his word in there. So the number one thing is that there's a battle going on. And we all just need to understand that. We're in a war. Would you say out loud? We're in a war. And the war is all about thoughts. It's all about what happens in our head. Now, number two, I just want to reiterate how strong the Word of God is when it comes to these thoughts. And I want to point it out to you. I'm not going to teach on it, but I want to point it out to you by looking at the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Now, Paul just said, be strong. And so the question can follow. How are we to be strong? And he goes, and he said, here's how you're strong. It all happened. By the way, let me just pause for a moment. When we talk about putting on the armor of God, we're simply talking about thoughts, friends. The armor's in your head. Now, it involves different parts of the armory. I mean, it involves a helmet we're going to talk about, and it involves all this stuff. But basically, all of those things are just thoughts. They're concepts that Paul says, if you want to win at this battle, then here's how you need to think about these things. He says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, which should be quench all fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Six things, six thoughts, six concepts, six ways to think. Gird your loins with truth. Now, a Roman soldier would put a belt on around him. This is what it means to gird this here. Now, what's interesting about this part of our body is two things goes on when you think about this part of our body. One is that's where we reproduce. Two is that's where we eliminate. So if you take that concept, then our life is lived according to truth, according to God's word, and we have the belt on properly, then here's what happens. That's where, in fact, we will reproduce truth and eliminate error. We'll reproduce truth, eliminate error. But what if the enemy gets in there and instead of having that truth around us, we have some other things around us, then we'll reproduce the error. So we reproduce the error and we'll eliminate truth. And this is the belt where he had his sword. His sword went inside the belt. The second one is a breastplate of righteousness. And this one's huge because in the Roman armor, they had this breastplate. And basically, it covered up the midsection, which involves the heart. And this is what the enemy always is after, friends. He's always after this part because it's a vital organ. If he can get your heart, then he can get you. If he can wound you at that level, he can get you. And this is so critical because here's what I want to challenge you with. I don't think most of the time we realize we're in warfare. Let me just try this on and see how you work with it. Just work with me for a second. Anybody in here ever have thoughts like this? you're not good enough. You've done too much wrong. You're flawed in some way. You're not loved like other people are loved. You're not lovable. You're never going to be happy. You don't deserve the breaks that everybody else gets. God loves other people, but somehow you say he loves you, but somehow you don't feel loved. Anybody ever have those thoughts? Now, I'm going to ask you to see your hand. Anybody ever have those thoughts? I got mine up here too. Now, watch me. Let's lump all those thoughts into one category and let's call it condemnation. Because you feel condemned. Which voice does condemnation come from, God or the evil one? But let me just ask you, the last time that happened to you, did you recognize it as the voice of the evil one who now was seeking to get up under this breastplate to your heart? So watch this. So that instead of life happening more abundantly, that life is diminished inside of you. Instead of you feeling better about yourself, you feel worse. And instead of feeling more alive, you feel less alive because it came at your heart. And I don't think sometimes we understand that. That God, he has gone a long way, friend, to give us righteousness. And he says, he did not come to give us condemnation, but he came to give us righteousness. The blood of Jesus now comes and it cleanses us. And we have a right standing with God. And so, but he's after you. He works that. Put on the helmet of salvation, which simply means you think like a saved person. You think like a person who had been bought with a price. You read the word. You just put it inside there. Have your feet covered with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Soldiers actually had cleats under the bottom. The Romans had cleats under their shoes, which other folks didn't. They could actually climb up something, a hill, with these cleats. They could be in a battle and push against one another with the cleats. And he's simply saying here, he's saying on this uphill climb, be sure you got your shoes on and there'll be peace coming your way. Take up the shield of faith. Now again, the shield wasn't a small little shield. It was a whole full body shield. So have the shield of faith. The shield of faith protects you, all your whole body. And now the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus was tempted four times. And four times, what was his response? Simply the Word of God. Four times he came back, the Word of God. That is just how powerful this is. Now, the Word of God will defeat the enemy on the very worst day of your life. But we have to understand, again, that is the Word. The Word is alive. Look what Ephesians 4 says. The Word of God is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of the soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive, and it's like a two-edged sword. The Bible is the only book that you can read it, but it reads you as well. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the enemy has a big desire, friends, to keep you out of this book. Because he knows that this book is alive. He knows if you get in this book, if you read this book and ingest this word, then you will be alive. And you will know then what the truth is. So his push is to keep you out, to somehow let this thing sit someplace and you don't actually ingest it, put it inside you. You don't take it in. Psalms 107:20 says, and he sent his word, read it with me, he sent his word to do what? To heal them. In other words, his word gets in us and it heals us, and his word gets in us and delivers us from their destruction. He sent his word. Now, getting this word in you is a huge deal, because what the enemy tries to build inside of you are thoughts. The God's word was thoughts that now has been expressed on the page. He thought it before it became word. And what you have in the word, you have Jesus, who now has taken on, he was the word, who became flesh. And so when he walked as what you see in the Word. And so putting it inside, let's look at this in Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall also not wither. And look what it says here. Read this out loud with me, that last part of it. And whatever he does shall what? No, why is that? Well, what it's not is it's not because he has reached some kind of quota. I want you to watch this. He is prospering because what he's putting in his mind is leading his life. And so now he knows how to think in order to become prosperous. He knows what to think. In other words, there's two parts of us. Let me just break it down this way. Meditation, and y'all have heard this. You ever heard of a cow who's chewing his cud? You ever heard of that phrase? That a cow has a couple stomachs, you know, and so what they do is they will swallow it, and then along during the day they'll bring it back up and eat it again. And what's happening is he's eating it until it finally reaches a point where it can be digested. And when it's digested, now it becomes fuel to him. And what it basically is saying with us is read the Word, let it go in, and then during the day pull it back up. Read the Word, let it go in, and just bring it back up. That's all meditation is. It's not hard. It's not anything weird. It's a simple thing of reading it and pulling it back up. Now, it's kind of like there's hardware and there's software. The hardware is that's our brain. That's how we're wired. It's our hardware. And but we've been, had the software has been infected with a virus. And this we're born with it. We've come this way. And we started off this way. And what happens is how we were originally wired to function is in this book. And now what happens when we read is it goes down inside of us, which is exactly how God made us to be. And now it starts programming us and it starts helping us to know the right direction and exactly how what we're supposed to do. So what I would encourage you to do is this. When I was growing up, the way I learned to read the Bible, even as a boy, is I read the interesting stories. I read all the fight scenes. I read all the demons that got cast out. I read all the miracles. I didn't spend much time in Leviticus. Not to say there's not a lot of cool stuff there, but I didn't go there. But I found what I liked, and it fed me. Now, here's what I would encourage you to do. Read what you need. Find out what you need, and that's where you read. The nice thing about having the computers these days is you can type in an issue, and it will give you all the scriptures around that issue. And so you have the Word that now deals with that issue. Like for instance, if you struggle with this condemnation, then God's Word is mighty and it's powerful, yes? So if the enemy is bringing condemnation, find a scripture that deals with condemnation. They say, for instance, it is Romans 8:1. That deals with that. Romans 8:1 says, read it out loud with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So you're feeling condemnation. If you're feeling condemnation, there's always been a thought, yes? The thought, do you feel first or think first? You think first. Your house is burning down. How you feel? You just won $1 million. How you feel? Which one came first, the thought or feeling? So if you're feeling something, you've already thought it. So if you're feeling condemned, then the thought has gotten in there somewhere, yes? And bring every thought into captivity. So now this thought has come in. Now the enemy's trying to bring it in. Is God's Word stronger or that thought stronger? And so now what you did... All right, let's just pause for a moment. Watch this with me. If you try to fight this, a spiritual battle, with fleshly means, you'll lose every time. The Word of God is powerful. It's alive. But it has to be used, friends. It has to be used. And that's the reason why if you're loaded with this thing right here, if you're loaded with Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation of those who are in Christ. And when that comes your way, if you immediately apply it at that moment, that word will work on that thought. Are y'all following me? It makes sense. But the word has to be, you can't just think about it and say, well, I don't want to have a bad thought. I'm not feeling very good. No, you've got to apply it. Ingest the word. Think about it. Listen to that voice. How about fear? How about fear? 1 Timothy is a great one on fear. 1 Timothy 1:7. Let's read it together. Fear. For God is not giving us a spirit of what? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Anybody here, when you struggle with fear, what do you do with it? If you just let it stay there, it doesn't go anywhere. And you can't just dismiss the thought out of your head. Y'all know this. Y'all heard me say this a bunch if you've been around. I mean, it's like saying, don't think of a pink elephant. What do you think about? Don't think of a pink elephant. What do you think about? Don't think of a blue goat. Huh? Don't think of a red turtle. You know, how do you get rid of a thought? You get rid of a thought by displacing it with another thought. And when you take the Word of God and bring it against this thought, now you have something that's powerfully working. I mean, for this same, another great scripture is Psalms 91. Now get this thought in your head. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. And in Him, say with me, in my God I will trust. Okay. Surely He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. And He shall cover you with His feathers. I mean, He's going to protect you under His wings, and you will take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. That's what you put in when the enemy comes to get you with this kind of stuff. Now, let me talk to you about four times of the day when you need to do this. Let me talk to you about this. And it's be found actually in Deuteronomy. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6 real quick. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I will command you this day shall be where? Which is in your mind, which is in your heart. Here's what's going inside. I want you to teach them diligently to your children. I want you to talk about them, get them out loud when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You will bind them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be frontlets in front of your eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and your gates. Now, that's how important it was to keep this stuff in front of your eyes, in your mind. He said, do this. So when's the time do you struggle the most with your thoughts? Number one, when you're laying in your bed at night. Is that true? Yeah. The second thing is when you're laying in bed in the morning. When you're sitting around the house and when you're traveling somewhere. I would encourage you that whatever the struggles that you're finding in your head, the thoughts in your head, I would find an answer to them, and then I would have that answer ready so when you lay down and you have the thoughts, you will have a response to them. In the morning when you get up and you have the thought, the enemy comes and he tries to work, then you will have the way to deal with it. When you're just sitting around the house, be conscious of how the enemy starts to work and starts to bring this condemnation and all these things to you. And so now you'll have something you can begin to fight him with. I'm going to ask the team to come, and as they come out, I want just to sing this song. And as we begin to sing this song, I want you just to think for a moment about what's been going on with you this week. And I want you to let the power that's in the name of Jesus begin to impact you. The Bible talks about all that Jesus did when he was here in person. And the truth of the matter is he's right now. And so I want you to worship just for a moment, just to become conscious, if you would, of his presence. I pray you would give victory in people's minds. That this week would be a week where we actually take what you've given us is your word, and we apply it. That what you say about us, we will believe about us. What you say we can do, we'll believe we can do. Who you say we are, we'll begin to say we are. That how you see us will begin to be how we see ourselves. And I pray that strongholds this week will be broken in people's minds. They'll find the solution in your word, and they'll take a living, mighty weapon, and they'll apply it against a weak, weak thought that cannot stand up to your word. May the Lord bless you and will keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody.